Job chapter 1 verse 8. Thank you, worship team. How many are ready for the word of God? Amen. Job chapter 1 verse 8. I titled this message, Trending.
Amen.
What is God saying about you? It's a message on the series on the lessons of the life of Job. It started last Sunday talking about Job. So I want to continue, amen, on this series, on these lessons that we can learn from the life of Job. And so this message I entitled, Trending, What is God Saying About You? Wow. Job chapter 1, verse 8. It says, Then the Lord said to Satan, Have you considered my servant Job? That there is none like him on the earth. A blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. Let's pray. Father, bless the reading of your word. Anoint it to our lives here this morning. God, remove me to the side. Anoint me, God. Use me here this morning. Once again, Lord, to minister your word. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit and your word. We pray that you let it minister to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Oftentimes, we will hear the old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I don't totally agree with this statement. Let me plead my case. Why? Because the Bible says in Proverbs 18:21, that there is life and death in the power of the tongue. Our words and even other people's words, they do have power to affect us. And they have power even to affect others, either positively or negatively. I'm reminded of something I heard recently from Bishop T.D. Jakes as he was speaking about Kobe Bryant's death. He was saying how so many were sharing beautiful words and stories about Kobe Bryant on the news and social media and at the Grammys and all over Hollywood and around the world. They were sharing so many good stories about him, how he was such a great man and he was good at this and good at that. And all of a sudden, T.D. Jakes says that if only he were here to hear and experience this love that people had for him.
Amen.
That was a very powerful point. He started to say how, for himself, he said, you know what? I don't want you to say all that good stuff later on. I want you to say all that good stuff about me now. Send me my flowers now.
Amen. That's right.
Don't wait till I'm dead when I can't enjoy it. Tell me now how much you love me. Tell me now all that good stuff you're saying about me. Post good stuff about me now. Flood your feed with good stuff about me now. Miss me now. Love on me now while I am living. Don't wait till I'm dead. Tell me now.
Amen.
As I thought about this, I started to wonder how many people would be encouraged and blessed and lifted up if we really did this and not wait till people are gone.
Amen.
So I'm giving you some homework today. That's due today.
Wow.
After service, go on Facebook, Instagram, or text them. Better yet, call them and tell people how good they are and how much they mean to you and how much you love them and tell them all the good qualities about them. Tell them now. Do this now. Do it right now. Why? Because listen, you may not know when you don't get the chance to do it any longer.
Yeah.
Don't wait till they're gone. They're not here to hear all that good stuff.
Right.
Tell them now.
Amen.
Listen, do this to even the person you're mad at.
Come on now.
Or the person you're hating on right now. Don't just do it to the people that you like.
That's right.
Huh? You know, because I've discovered there are people that I don't like right now. But it's because of me. Can I be real? It's not because of them, it's because of me. And truly and really, they're amazing people.
Come on now.
Huh? Amen. So yeah, come on. Go ahead and do that today.
Amen. Yeah.
Why wait? Why wait? You know, the sad thing, the story you hear about his Kobe Bryant's relationship with his parents, right? Mm. It was rocky.
Yes.
Yeah. And imagine how they could, they didn't have a chance.
Wow.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
So listen, do that now to people. Embrace people now. Speak words of life right now.
Yes,
amen. Because there's life and death in the power of the tongue.
Yes, there is. Come on.
Somebody once said that we are really three people.
Come on now.
The people others think we are, number one.
Wow.
The person we think we are, number two. And the person God knows we are, number three. And let me tell you something. What he thinks we are is more important than anything else.
Yeah.
What he knows we are.
Yeah.
But this saying could also be said in a different way. It could also be said like this. We are really three people. The person others say we are. The person we say we are. And the person God says we are.
Right.
As I titled this message, Trending, because we know about what's trending on social media, what's trending on the news. Usually it's what everybody's talking about, right? What everybody's talking about. There's different trends. There's so many trends in sports and food and all kinds of things. There's so many trends going on. But this morning, I want to know what God is saying about us.
Amen.
That's good.
You should want to know this morning what God is saying about you.
Come on.
Huh? But there's always things trending about us. There's always something being said about us in heaven and on earth. You know that God talks about you? God thinks about you? God is concerned about you? There's always things being said, even here on earth. So what is trending or what is being said about you? Let's look at these three areas that tend to trend about us. Or what tends to be said about us.
Wow.
The first area is what others are saying about you. What others are saying about you. You know, this reminds me of a song. Remember that one?
Yeah.
But I didn't get it on the part that I like. You remember the song.
Yeah.
Look at all these rumors surrounding me every day. I just need some time. Some time to go and pray. Paul just says get away, right? Some time to get away. What others are saying about you.
Yeah.
Huh? What others are saying about you. Have you ever had a rumor about you?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. You always going to get a strong response.
Man.
Well, don't look at them.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Now, you may say to yourself, I don't like when people talk about me.
Yeah.
Right? Who hasn't said that? I don't like when people talk about me. Right?
Yeah.
But unless you plan on being a hermit, right? We've had like three of them in our three hermits in our family. They all died. Listen, one time we had a hermit. I guarantee you, he was missing for like 3 months.
Yeah.
He got out of his little box. Yeah, he was on the run, man. I mean, it was long, like 3 to 4 months. We couldn't find him. He was gone. A month later, he comes crawling out from behind some couch or some. I think it was the dresser. Comes all dusty and stuff. I said, look, who decided to show up? He was gone. And you know, a hermit. And listen, unless You, unless you decide to be a hermit and just stay to yourself, then that's a way that maybe people won't talk about you, but even then people are going to be talking about you. Because we were talking about the hermit. Come on, somebody. Where did he go, backslider? Come on, somebody. Like, he's gone, man. He left the home. Amen. Even then, people will talk about you. Come on, somebody. You know, and you know, unless you plan on being a hermit and disconnect yourself from the world, which is not always wise or healthy. It's not always wise or healthy to disconnect yourself from the world. Matter of fact, I remember reading about a study. And this is kind of cold-blooded, you know, but I remember I read the study, whether it's true or not, just listen to it, but it's cold-blooded if it did happen. But it was a study of how they got a baby, and they got two babies, newborn babies, or babies that were young. And they put one baby, and they didn't touch this baby. They just fed the baby, you know, through a bottle, but no human touch. That baby did not have no human touch, no contact. They just let that baby in the crib and its incubator thing and just kind of fed it through the bottle. And they did that for a period of time. They had another baby, which was with the mom, and they allowed the mom to nourish it and breastfeed it and had connection with the mom. What they discovered is that after a time, that the baby that was being nourished and felt the touch of his mom and felt the touch of other people was more healthier and was more responsive than the baby who had not been touched and was just being fed with a bottle.
Yeah.
Now, that's cold-blooded to do to a baby, right?
Yes.
But it was a study that I read. But at the end of the day, the baby that had been touched, that had been nourished, that was paid attention to, that was surrounded by people, grew healthier and stronger.
Yeah,
see, it's not always a good idea to just to be a hermit and to disconnect yourself from people in life.
Right,
see? So, you know, unless you plan on disconnecting yourself, listen, that's a way of getting people maybe to talk about you less. But the fact is that people will talk about you. People will talk about you, especially if you decide to be a follower of Christ.
Right,
we've all experienced people talk about us in the world and spreading rumors and this and that and the other. And, you know, we've all experienced that. People will always talk about us. Your family will talk about you. Your friends will talk about you. People in the church will talk about you. Listen, it's going to happen, my friend. It's going to happen. And listen, you may say, I don't like when people talk about me. The only solution to that is closing yourself and being a hermit, go living in the mountain somewhere. But listen, that's not the life God called us to live. God called us to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. God called us to be a testimony and an example of what a man of God and a woman of God should be, and what a couple of God should look like, and what a family of God should look like. He doesn't want us to lock ourselves in some room and be distant from everybody else. How are we going to win the world for Jesus if the church is hiding in the closet? The gays came out of the closet, but the Christian wants to run in the closets. Time the church needs to come out of the closet. Come on, somebody. We come out and let our light shine. But when the church comes out of the closet, when the Christian says, I decide to be, I'm going to put myself out there, and I'm going to love people the way Jesus loved people, and I'm going to help people the way Jesus helped people, and I'm going to give to people the way Jesus gave to people, that's when you become a prime target to be talked about. That's when you become a prime target to get rumors talked about. Oh, he's only doing it for show. She's only doing it for show. It's all fake. It's not real. It's just for attention. This, that, and the other.
Come on,
come on, somebody. That's what I remember them trying to, nobody said it, but we always think it, right?
Yeah.
If I give my life to Jesus, what are the homies going to say?
Yeah.
If I give my life to Jesus while I'm in jail, what are the homies going to say? They're going to say it's just jail religion.
Yeah.
That he just wants to get out of jail. Get out of jail free card. Come on, somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen, God didn't give me no get out of jail free card. I'll tell you that.
Come on,
come on, somebody. He gave me some time. Amen. Huh? But listen, that's going to happen. People are going to talk.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially if you decide to follow Jesus.
Amen.
Why? Because they talked about Jesus.
They did.
They talked about, they said about Jesus. They said that he casted out demons because he had a demon.
Come on.
Listen, the only reason why he has a power to cast out demons is because he's a demon himself and the demons listen to each other. That's what they said about him. Come on, somebody. That's what they said about him. When you put yourself out there to love and help like to help others like Jesus, you will be talked about. And worse even, you will be persecuted. Should we let it get to us? That's right. We shouldn't. We shouldn't let it get to us. But does it?
Yes.
Oh, come on. Take the halo off. Take your wings off. Take your super giver cape off. Super Christian. Yeah. I don't get to me, Pastor. It don't get to me. I can take it. Right? Oh, come on, somebody. You know you'd be thinking about it. Come on, somebody. Huh? We let it get to us sometimes. But we need to learn how not to let it get to us. We need to learn how not to let it get to us. Now, you might have learned this, but for those that haven't, let me give you some steps on how we can prevent it from getting to us. One way by you preventing it from letting it get to you is by blocking it out of our lives. By blocking it out of our lives. Learn to block out some of that stuff that people are saying about us. Not everything that something says about you is good, my friend. And sometimes we need to learn how to block it out of our lives. Sometimes you need to use that block button.
Hello. Yeah.
Well. It's Facebook put it there for a reason. And sometimes, listen, you know what we need to learn to do? We just need to learn how to post but not scroll.
Come on.
Because sometimes your feed, come on, so I don't care how holy and how Christian it is.
Come on.
It can still become negative.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, somebody.
Right.
Huh? Sometimes you got to learn how to block stuff out of your lives. Yeah. You know, Jesus blocked out his accusers when they were accusing him. In the book of Mark chapter 14, verses 55 through 61, let's read. It says, the chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death. But they did not find any. Many testified falsely against him, but their statements did not agree. Then some stood up and gave false testimony against him. We heard him say, I would destroy this temple made with human hands, and in 3 days will build another not made with hands. Yet even then, their testimony did not agree. They're saying all kinds of lies about Jesus. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you? But Jesus remained silent and gave no answer. What is he doing? He's blocking them out. He's like, homie, don't play that. I ain't got time for that. Huh? Excuse me if I use, amen, my broken English. Amen. I still got a little hood in me. Amen. You can take the hood. Amen. You can take the guy out the hood, but you can't take the hood out the guy. Amen. That's all right, amen, because a lot of us come from the hood, amen. If you don't, amen, bear with me, amen. Listen, Jesus remains silent. We need to learn that not every comment that is made about you needs a reply. Let me say that again, because it sounds good. Not every comment that is made about you needs a reply. And today the reply don't even come from the tongue. It comes from the thumbs. You got the fastest thumbs in the West. We got to learn that not every comment needs a reply. I like what my pastor says. He says this. He says, I never argue with people whose statement I don't respect.
That's good.
I never argue with people whose statements I don't respect. Come on, that's heavy right there. You could like chew on that right there. Because sometimes we're so tempted to go back and forth. Because of what other people are saying. People are always gonna say stuff. Huh? Another way that you can block this out is, or we could not let this affect us is by don't give negative words access to you.
Yeah.
Don't give negative words access to you. This means staying as far away from negativity and negative people as possible.
Amen.
Now, this is not always possible. But as much as is in you, in your power, stay away from it. It's not always possible, though, because you might have a negative Nancy as your boss. If your name is Nancy, no offense. Amen. You may have a negative boss that you must work with. Come on, somebody. The answer is not to quit your job.
Yeah.
You need your job. Come on, somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
Man don't work, man don't eat. That's what the Bible says. So if he ain't working, don't feed him. Ladies. That's what the Bible says. Don't get mad at me. Amen. That's the word. Amen. Take it up with the word. And listen. It's that, you know, sometimes we just need to learn not to give negative access to us. Amen. Not let negative words have access to us. Sometimes you're going to have to be around negative people. You got to work with negative people. Let me tell you something. There might be negative people in your family.
Yeah.
I'm sorry you can't change cousins. I'm sorry you can't ask for a new sister. Right?
Hello.
You know, you stuck with that dad, that pop, he's your pops, amen. You got his blood running through your veins.
Oh, no.
Let me tell you, sometimes our family can be the most negative. Oh, you're going to church now.
Yeah.
How long is that going to last?
Oh, yeah.
You went to the home. Oh, okay, you're serving God. Oh, you're carrying a Bible now.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Sometimes our own family can be the most. Come on,
man. Yeah,
true. Man, you know, man, you should be happy.
Yeah.
You should be happy because, you know, your wallet's safe now.
Yeah.
You should be happy because I ain't going to be starting fights at the Christmas party now.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. Yeah. I ain't going to ruin the cookout no more.
Yeah.
Right? We showed up to the cookout. We got a few beers in us. Oh, come on now, huh? But now that Jesus saved us, Jesus delivered us, he set us free, we don't drink no more, we don't smoke no more, we're not on dope no more, all of a sudden we can go to the cookout and have a good time, clean and sober, and be productive, and minister to the drunk uncle.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Right? So not all the time can you avoid negative people. The answer. So, sometimes some negative people, those negative people might just be the thorn in your flesh.
Yeah.
2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10 talks about Paul's thorn in his flesh.
Right.
It says, because of these surpassingly great revelations, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, Paul said, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Then go on. It goes on to say, three times I pleaded with the Lord, take it away from me, God. Three times he said he prayed, he fasted and prayed, God, please deliver. But listen to what the Lord said. He said, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Sometimes negative people may be like a thorn in your flesh, and you're saying, God, please just fire them, please just remove them. And God's saying, no, I'm going to keep them in your life because iron sharpens iron, and I'm using them to teach you to love more, and I'm using them to teach you to be patient more. I'm using them to do that. But listen, not everybody's a thorn in your flesh. There's some negative people you can get away from. Just stay away from them. Come on, somebody. You see them coming, walk the other way. Huh? You got to learn to block out negativity from your life. Don't give negative words access to you. Another way that you can kind of stay away from the negativity of others is that you got to surround yourself with life givers.
Amen.
Surround yourself with life givers. In other words, surround yourself with those who will speak the word of God into your life.
Amen. That's right.
So many times, sometimes we, you know, we're in a position, and you know what happens if we always surround ourselves with negativity, we begin to think like that.
Right.
If we're not careful, we're not strong enough, All of a sudden, we wonder why we're depressed. We wonder why we're down. We wonder why we're sad. We wonder why we're kicking the can and our lips dragging the floor. We wonder why we're all going through it. It's because all the negativity that others and social media and the news, I'm tired. Sometimes I don't even like watching the news. Nothing but bad news and this murder and this stealing and this and that and the others. My God, where's the good news? I was like, I got to open up my Bible because this is the good news. I thank God that every time I open up his book, there is good news. This is why you got to surround yourself with people that are going to put the word in you. That's why it's important to come to church. Go to life group on Tuesday. Come to Friday night. Come tonight. Dennis Gaizolia, that comedian, he is a Christian comedian. He's going to make you laugh, but he's going to sprinkle the word of God in there. And the Bible says that laughter is good for the soul. No, but you know, we won't come to a Christian comedian, but we'll go to all the other dirty comedians. My God, we don't want to go there. We got to surround yourself with life givers. Life givers. I heard a lady on the radio this week, listening to Christian radio, and she was testifying, and she was testifying how you know, she wasn't able to have babies. For a long time, she wasn't able to have kids, and she prayed. She's like, God, why, you know? And she was really going through it because of that. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit spoke to her. And because she was praying, she's like, I'm a woman. I'm supposed to be a life giver. And the Holy Spirit spoke to her one day and says, you know what? You are a life giver. You need to give. I've called you to give life with your words. I've called you to give life with your encouragement. This is how the way you're giving life, to give life to others that are around you by speaking the word of God. And she said when she heard that, that gave her a breakthrough. She never been the same. And let me tell you something about speaking life into other people. When you speak life into other people, it's like pumping life into your own life. When you give to others, it's like giving to yourself. You know that Job's friends had a lot to say about him. Matter of fact, when this happened to Job, I mean, a lot of people were talking about Job. You got to think about Job. The Bible says, we talked about it last week, how Job, the Bible says that he was the greatest man in the East. And it talked about all the wealth that Job had. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he had so much wealth that the Bible says he was the greatest man in the East, and everybody admired Job and looked up to Job. But then one day changed it all. You know, one day can change everything for the good or the bad. And one day in Job's life, The enemy came, took all his wealth, all his resources, killed all his cattle, stole all his cattle. And one day, all of his kids were taken away and killed in a freak accident. And in one day, Job found himself with nothing. And he found himself not only with nothing, but a wife who had turned into a negative Nancy. After all this happened, his wife says, "Are you still holding on to your integrity, Job? Curse God and die." My God, she was not praying with Job. Amen. And all of a sudden, from one thing to another, before, what was trending about Job was that he was a blessed man. He was a great man. He was a man that the hand of God was upon his life. He was a man of God. He was this, and everything that was trending about Job was good and good and great. But all of a sudden, in one day, when this happened, all of a sudden, the whispers begin to change. The talk began to change. And all of a sudden, it wasn't that he was a great man anymore, but now people were saying, well, what did Job do? And what did he do to get God mad? And he must have done something, because, you know, this doesn't happen to people of God. He must have done something to offend God. And all of a sudden, the talk started to change about Job.
Come on.
There's always what the outsiders say, what the insiders say, and then what the devil says. When it comes down to what other people are saying, there's always about what the outsiders are saying. So, and then there's the insiders. There's those that are close to you.
Yeah.
Like your friends, your family. And you know, Job, when this happened to Job, he was going through, he just found himself a place. And the Bible says that he went and he sat down. And God even allowed the enemy to hit his body. Yeah. And he got sores all over his body.
Wow.
We know the story. I'm not, you know, how You know, well, I'll finish it at the end with kind of close it. But the Bible says after all that happened, that Job was sitting there and he was just kind of just mourning that all his family passed away. He died. Everything was taken away. And he was sitting there with his sores. And, you know, Job had friends. You know, when you have a lot of money, you can have some friends.
Yeah.
Right? And so all of a sudden, Job's friends, you know, pretty good friends, they came around, and the Bible says that they sat around Job, and for about 2 or 3 days, they didn't say nothing. Wow. But after about 3 days, they could not hold their tongue no more. And they started to open up their mouth.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Job's friends started to give their take on why this was happening to Job. Mm-hmm. Huh? And they started to tell Job, you know, Job, this is happening to you because, man, you got to confess sin. You know, confess your sins one to another that you may be healed. You want out of this, Job? Come on, fess up. What is it? We know you've been dipping and dabbing. What's up, Job? We know it because this doesn't happen to just people. You know, this doesn't happen to anybody. You've done something wrong to offend God. So what's going on? Spill the beans. This is what his friends were saying about him. That's what people were saying about him. They were saying, man, you must have done something wrong, Job. Come on, come clean, Job. A lot of times people say stuff. They don't understand what's going on in your life. They don't understand the battle that you're facing. This is why it's important. See, not only do you have the insiders, family and friends saying something, but let me tell you something, the devil's also saying something too.
That's right.
The devil is also saying something about you.
Come on.
In Revelation 12:10, the Bible says that I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah, for the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accused them before our God day and night has been hurled down.
Wow.
What is the devil saying about us? The devil is constantly accusing the people of God.
Right.
The devil's saying something. He is saying something about you to God. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I don't know why you died for them. He's not worthy of being died. Look, he's still messing up. Look, he's still doing this. Look, she's still in that. Look, they're still doing this and that and the other. Because that's the job of the enemy. He comes to bring accusations, and he says it to God, but not only does he says it to God, but he says it to other people. He begins to accuse you in the ears of other people.
Right.
He begins to look at sisters, you know, her motive ain't right. Begins to whisper things in your ear, you know. It is said that angels and demons travel at the speed of thought. Angels and demons travel at the speed of thought. You know that, you know, you got to be careful with your thoughts. Because it's those thoughts. Because you got to learn to recognize the voice of the enemy. Voice of the devil speaks to you.
That's right.
And he'll speak to you with the thought. Huh? And what does he do? He tries to put us against each other. He tries to put us against each other. You know why? Because he understands that a house divided against itself will not stand.
Yes.
Cannot stand. So he tries to divide your family. He tries to divide your marriage. Right. He tries to divide the church. Yeah. And he does that through thoughts. And that's how the enemy operates. He is saying, he is accusing you. He is accusing you. Oh, they're talking about you. Look, they're being shady with you. Look, and in reality, that's not even happening. It's just the devil's playing tricks on you.
My.
You remember that song by the Ghetto Boys back in the day?
Yeah.
My mind is playing tricks on me. Dun, 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 dun. Right? That still happens today in the church while you're serving God. You think people are talking about you, this and that. Ain't nobody saying nothing. It's just the enemy accusing the people.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
The enemy accusing the church. The enemy accusing. Say it happens, my friend. We got to know that's the enemy. That's what the enemy is saying about us. That's what the enemy's trend is about us. But listen, it doesn't matter what the enemy says. What matters is what God says. The devil accused Job of only loving God because God had blessed him. In other words, he was saying that Job only loves you, God, because you're his sugar daddy. He was trying to pervert Job's love for God to God. See, the devil is dirty and he don't play fair. See, the devil accuses believers constantly to God, themselves, and even to others. You know, the devil even accuses you to you.
Wow. He even accuses you to you.
See, you're never going to make it. You're never going to get it right. You're always going to struggle with this. You're always going to be broke. You're always going to be poor. You didn't even graduate high school, man. You no good nothing. The devil is always constantly bringing accusations about you to God, to yourself, and even to other people. The devil's going to do his job. I think it's time for the church to stand up and do our job.
Yay!
So the first thing is, what is others saying about you? Secondly, what are you saying about you? What you're saying about you? What's trending about you to you? In Proverbs 23, verse 7, it says, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he."
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
You know, in other words, what is your self-talk like?
Yeah.
What are you saying to yourself daily?
Yes, yes.
Are you saying to yourself, "I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, marvelous are his works, and my heart knows right from well"?
Yeah.
Are you saying that I'm a royal priesthood, a chosen people, a holy nation? Are you saying I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus? Are you saying to yourself, "I can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives me the strength"?
Right.
You know that we shouldn't be so much concerned about what others are saying about us. What we need to be more concerned about is what we are saying about us.
Amen. Right.
Be more concerned about what you are saying about you. You can't control what others say about you. You can't control what the devil says about you. But you can control what you say about you. And Job, he maintained this. He didn't allow the opinions of others to change his opinion of himself. Your opinion of yourself is what you say to yourself. If you keep on saying to yourself you're a drug addict, this is why I don't believe in the AA stuff, man. Because you got to go to the AA and they tell you, okay, you know, stand up and introduce yourself. "Hello, my name is Francisco and I am an alcoholic." I rebuke that in the name of Jesus.
Right.
I ain't no alcoholic. I ain't no drug addict. I've been washed in the blood. I've been set free. I've been delivered. I ain't got to say I'm "Hello, my name is Francisco and I've been delivered by the power of God. God set me free. I'm a son of God, a child of God, a child of a king. I'm a prince, a royal priesthood. That's who I am. I ain't no drug addict. I ain't no gang member. I ain't no convict no more. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm a man of God." You gotta learn to talk to yourself and encourage yourself in the Lord like David did. Don't wait for somebody else to encourage you. Sometimes you gotta encourage yourself. Sometimes you gotta preach to yourself. Don't wait for Sunday morning. Get in front of that mirror and begin to declare the word of God over your life. Don't wait for Sunday or a life group. Begin to preach to yourself and declare all the goodness that God has for you. Stand on that promise and you watch a change take place in your life. There's power in the tongue. People die because of something said. Tongues can be weapons of mass destruction, launching holocausts and wars. Tongues can also be the death of marriages, families, friendships, churches, careers, hopes, understandings, reputations, missionary efforts, and governments. The tongue has power. But people also live because of the power of the tongue. People also live because of something said. The tongue can be a tree of life. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 4. The tongue can be a tree of life. The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirits. Tongues can reconcile people and make peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, Matthew 5, 9 says. Tongues can make marriages sweet, families strong, and churches healthy.
Amen.
Tongues can give hope to the despairing, advance understanding, and spread the gospel.
Amen.
So what will come out of your mouth today? What will come out of your tongue today? Will it be life or death? What are you going to say about you? What are you going to say about others? It will all depend not just on what's on your tongue, but what's filling your heart. Because Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, he says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A critical heart produces a critical tongue. A self-righteous heart produces a judgmental tongue. A bitter heart produces a tongue full of acid. And an ungrateful heart produces a grumbling tongue. But a loving heart produces a gracious tongue. A faithful heart produces a truthful tongue. A peaceful heart produces a reconciling tongue. A trusting heart produces an encouraging tongue. So fill your heart with grace. Fill your heart with the Bible. Fill your heart with the Word of God. Soak in the Scriptures. Soak in Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes. Soak in Romans chapter 12. Do not be conformed to the standard of this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, which is your reasonable act of worship. Listen, soak yourself with 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is the chapter of love. Come on, somebody, let that chapter get inside of you so that love can come out of you. Soak yourself in Philippians chapter 2, where it talks about dwell on these things, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is praiseworthy, dwell upon these things and have the mind that was in Christ Jesus, that even though he was the Son of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he humbled himself to the form of a servant and he served his people. So let it soak in you.
Yeah.
And be very careful taking in the words of death.
Yeah.
They come in the news. They come through the radio. They come through the TV. And they come through the social media. And say a prayer. Say the prayer of the psalmist who said, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth to keep watch over the my lips. Psalms 141 verse 3. See, the world is full of words of death. This world is full of words of death. Listen to this quote. The whole world lies. L-I-E-S.
Wow.
The whole world lies. L-I-E-S. In the power of the evil one. Get that. The whole world lies in the power of the evil one, who was a murderer from the beginning and the father of lies. John 1:5-19 says that he's the father of lies. Let's not believe in the lies of the devil, because we're from God. And we believe in Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He is the truth. He is the way. He is the life. And he is the only one who has the words of eternal life, according to John chapter 6, verse 68. Right. So let's speak these over our lives.
Good.
Lastly, here this morning is what God is saying about you. What God is saying about you. As the piano player comes up. What God is saying about you. What is trending in God's heart about you? What is trending on God's lips about you? This is what God said about Job in Job chapter 1, verse 8. He says, then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? That there is none like him on the earth. This is what God is saying about you too. He's saying there's none like him. There's none like her on the earth. I'm here to tell you, you're unique. Yeah, there might be somebody that looks like you somewhere else in Russia, in Mexico, in Africa. But they might look at you, but they don't act like you. They don't talk like you. They don't have your personality. You know why? Because you are unique. Job, this is what God says about Job. He says in Job chapter 1, verse 8, he says, have you considered my servant Job? He tells this to Satan. that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. You know, out of everyone in the world God could brag on or put forth against Satan, he chose Job for this job.
Right.
He chose Job for this job to show the devil a lesson. You know, that's like that. God was speaking highly of Job. God was speaking highly of Job in heaven. But while on earth, people were speaking lowly about Job. Now, he must have done something. But in heaven, that wasn't the mentality of God. God's mentality was like, man, no. You know, devil, the devil showed up to heaven looking for some trouble. God said, Satan, where you come from? What are you doing? He's like, I'm running. I came from walking to and fro the earth. Oh, God says, oh, I know exactly what you're doing. You're looking for trouble. You're looking for somebody to pick on. You're looking for somebody to jump in the ring with. I got something for you, Slick. Huh? I got something for you, dog. I got something for you, huh? Have you considered my servant Job?
Amen. That's right.
Out of all the names out of the hat that God could have put Job's name. So let me tell you something. If quit crying about what you're going through.
Come on.
It may not even be about you.
Come on now. Wow. Wow, there it is.
Some of you need to pray about that this week. It may not even be, and it may not have nothing to do about you. Have nothing to do about it. It's all something that's just God is orchestrating in heaven.
Yeah.
Well, God, why'd you pick me? Because I thought you weren't a crybaby. don't make me change my mind. Huh? God chose Job. Whatever trial you're going through, it's for a purpose.
Yeah,
man. Maybe God chose you. So that you could be an example to others.
Yes.
So that others can learn when they go through this, it's not the end of the world.
Amen.
I remember thinking like that when I went to when I used to always think like, especially when the police would pull me over, yeah. Be like, God, why me, man? Why always go to jail? That's a big one, as you can tell. But I remember how clear as day, man. Out of all the homeboys, I always went to jail. And then there was that one guy that was like worse than me, but he never went to jail. And I'd be in jail and be like, God, why, man? Why, Lord? Why me? He's worse. And even then, there was a sense like, because I love you.
Yeah.
Because I have a plan for you. Because I'm making you strong. I'm pulling you out of some stuff.
Yeah.
I'm pulling some stuff out of you.
Yeah.
Huh? Good. Out of everyone in the world, God chose Job to give the devil a lesson. To give the enemy a lesson. This is what was being said about Job. In heaven, God was having a conversation with the devil about Job.
Wow.
And Job was left out of that conversation. Come on, somebody.
Heavy.
But there was a purpose for it. God was speaking well about Job while the enemy was speaking bad about Job. He's only worshiping you because of what you can give him. Take your hedge of protection around him and see if he will not curse you. See if he will not curse you to your face.
Wow.
God says, okay. You want to put me to the test? He took the hedge of protection off of Job. That's why, yes, that's why his finances got hit. Yes, that's why his family got hit, and in the worst way. Because, yes, God took his hand upon. Listen, you're blessed because God's hand is upon you. Leader, don't get it twisted. Christian, don't get it. You're blessed because of the hand of God upon your life, my friend. Because God's hand, because the favor of God is upon your life. God took his hand upon it. Okay, devil, I'll take you up on it. My hands are free. Do what you want. But on the man himself, don't touch him.
Yeah.
That's when everything was taken away. Family, wealth, resources, everything destroyed in Job's life. And Job was, the Bible says, we're reading it. It says when all that happened, it said Job leaned over and worshiped God. Yes. And worshiped God. Even when he was going through all that. Yes. And you know the devil's look? The devil looked at him like with disgust.
Come on.
Like he got an ugly knot in his stomach.
Yeah.
I can't believe that he's still worshiping God. So you know his jealousy got even stronger.
Yes.
He came back before God. God said, what happened? What happened, Satan? Job's still worshiping me. I told you.
Yeah.
He says, yeah, but take your hand off his body. Take your hand off his body and see if he will not curse you. God says, okie dokie, Arachoki. He says, I'll take my hand off his body, but you can't kill him. Woohoo! Come on, somebody. The devil can't kill you, man.
That's right.
Too much power.
That's when the boils came upon his body. The sores came upon his body. But Job still kept his integrity.
Yes.
Oh, we need some Christians like that.
Right.
And come hell or high water, we'll still worship God. We'll still hold on to our integrity. The devil might hit our family. He might hit our finances. But we're going to still hold on to our faith in Jesus Christ. We're going to, no matter what, we will still hold on. That's loyalty, my friend. That's a person who is attractive. That's what singles are looking for. They're looking for a loyal man and a loyal woman. But listen, we can't be loyal to anybody else until we first learn how to be loyal to God. If you can find a man like that, a woman, don't let go of him. That's when I found my wife. I said, oh, she's loyal to God.
Yes, amen.
I got me a good one.
Yes, you do.
Because if she stays loyal to God, she got to stay loyal to me.
Yes.
If she stays loyal to God, if she stays loyal to the word of God, she got to stay loyal to me because the word of God says.
Yes.
The word of God says submit to your husband. Hello. The word of God says I don't like divorce. Hello.
Amen.
God, the word of God says, even if he's not a believer,
yes,
don't leave him.
Yes.
Pray him in.
Yes.
Pray him in. Yes. Pray him in.
Yes.
We need some wives to pray them in. We need some husbands to pray her in. We need some parents to pray their children in. We need a church that will pray them in. God said that Job is unique. He's not like everyone else. God said Job is blameless and upright. He's not perfect. He's not perfect, but his heart is perfect towards me. God ain't looking for you to be perfect and sinless. When you give your life to God, you will sin less. God said about Job, he's a man who fears God and shuns evil. What is God saying about you? Does it matter to you what God says about you? Or are you more concerned about what others say about you? All that matters now and forever, and especially at the end of your life, is what God says about you.
That's right. It's good.
Lastly, and I'll be quiet. You control the narrative of your life. You control what's trending about you. You know how you control this? By your words.
Right.
There's life and death in the power of the tongue. You control this by your actions. And you control this by your behaviors. You don't want people to talk bad about you? Quit acting up.
Yeah.
The church is talking about, quit acting up, man. Human. People talking, your mom, family, my mom talking about, my dad, my sister. Quit acting the foolio.
Right.
Change your behavior. Change your attitude. You'll control the narrative of you. You'll control what people say about you. If you act right, they say, man, that's a man of God.
Right.
And she's doing good.
Amen.
She's been going to that church.
Yeah.
And she just don't go to church. She is the church. She's doing good. He's doing good.
Yeah.
I remember when they were this. Oh, they were bad. But look, I see the transformation in their lives.
Yeah.
I can see the transformation in their lives. So what's trending about you? What's trending on earth about you? What's trending in heaven about you? All that matters is what you say about you.
Yes.
but mainly what God says about you.
Amen.
And at the end of the day, at the end of my life, I want God to say to me, along with many of you, well done, thou good and faithful servants. Enter into thy rest. Stand to your feet here this morning. Lift your hands and worship God. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, some of you, you've been talking down on you. That has to change today. That has to change this morning. Begin to speak life into your life. Some of you might have been, you might be guilty of being a negative Nancy. You might be guilty of speaking death. It's time to change that. Quit speaking death over people, over yourself. Start to speak life. Some of you, you let what the enemy says bother you too much. You pay attention to the enemy too much, and you believe the accusations of the enemy. The enemy's always whispering in your thoughts. You'll never make it. You'll never be set free from alcohol. You'll never be set free from drugs. You'll never be a leader. You'll never be able to come to church. You'll never be able to be that man of God. You'll never be able to have a healthy marriage. The enemy is constantly accusing you. It's time to rebuke the enemy and tell the enemy, shut up. You gotta tell the enemy, be quiet, shut his mouth, and start to believe the word of God. This morning, I'm gonna open up these altars, and you feel like God has spoken to you. I want you to come. You come and let God grab a hold of your heart. Let God fill you with his spirit, with his word. You come, get out of your seat. You come. Spend some time with Jesus.
Come on, just lift your hands to heaven. Close your eyes. Father, right now, we thank you for that message, God. God, it was a message sent from heaven, God. God, we thank you, Lord, for, God, everything, God, Lord, that you, that was said. Help us to apply it, God. Lord, I pray that you would guard the hearts and minds of your people from the lies of the enemy, God. God, I pray that you would help us, God, to speak life wherever we go. God, that we would speak life into our families. That we would speak life, God, to our friends and, God, our co-workers, God. That we would be life givers, God. God, I pray right now, give us an anointing, God. Oh, right now, God. Lord, that we would be ambassadors of Jesus Christ everywhere we go. Father, I pray right now that you would touch the hearts of your people. God, strengthen us, God, to be the church. Strengthen us, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. If you're here and you want to give your life to Jesus, you're tired of running from God, and you want to serve God, you want to give your heart to Jesus. Maybe you're not a believer, but after this message, something stirred you up, and you want to put your faith in Jesus. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. So if that's here, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you want to surrender, if you want to give your heart to Jesus, I want you to repeat this. I want you to raise your hand, and I want you to repeat this after me. Say, Jesus. Let's all say it together. Say, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. You died on the cross, but you also rose from the dead. And you're alive today. You're seated in heaven. Praying for me. Thank you, Jesus. I give my heart to you. I surrender. Forgive me of all of my sins. Wash me with your precious blood. Cleanse my mind and my heart. Thank you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen and amen. Come on, if God spoke to you, if you got your breakthrough, give him some praise. Somebody thank Jesus. Come on, say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, amen. Wow, what a powerful service. How many received a word from God? Praise the Lord, amen. Well, we just want to encourage you and remind you to come back out tonight. It's going to be a powerful time. Amen. We're going to have the comedian with us. Dennis Gonzolia will be here at 6 o'clock. Amen. Tonight, it's going to be a powerful time. Bring somebody. Somebody that you know they need some encouragement. Amen. They need some good laughter. Bring them to the house of God. Amen. And we also have plenty of things throughout the week. We have life groups on Tuesday, Wednesday, push service. Friday, we'll have a special guest speaker. Amen. Pastor Manny Riel. It's going to be a powerful time. Amen. And game is at 5 p.m. today. Praise God. Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, you are dismissed. God bless you. Go.